It's time for overtime.
Now that's a tourist attraction.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros.
Toughest son of a gun you ever met, man. That Texas gunslinger ain't gonna let nothing get in the way.
With interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking. Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Right back to it, back in the saddle on a Monday, June 1st edition of Overtime. I missed you guys. Beautiful weather today. Can't say the same about the weekend yesterday. I'm glad to hear a lot of folks out there staying safe yesterday as we battled some severe weather in these parts throughout the state, really up to our north in Aberdeen, down to our south in Lincoln County. We made it through, and again, thank you to everybody here at Results Radio staying on top of all of the weather activity over the weekend. It's a June 1st kind of day, a month opening edition of Overtime. We start out with On This Day in Sports History in about 20 minutes. NBA, NHL has met their final two teams in the Stanley Cup Final, and the NBA Finals. We'll dive in, set the stage, and dive into the odds here in about 20 minutes on today's show. In about 40 minutes in Hour 1, we're recapping another tremendous season for Augustana Viking baseball. It ends in the Super Regional Round, D2 NCAA Tournament. Head coach Tim Huber recapping the season, talking about the offseason agenda, the seniors moving on, those coming back for another year. Going to be a nice one, I'm sure. Ahead, if you follow the trajectory of that program, always high expectations. Augie baseball season recap, preview of the offseason coming up here at the end of hour number one. Hour number two, headlines and highlights, latest from the NFL. The Minnesota Vikings have found their next general manager, and they did not keep it in-house. They did not keep it familiar. They go with a assistant GM of the Seattle Seahawks, Nolan Teasley, going to be the new GM, and a name we're going to meet, hear a lot more of in the days, weeks, and months ahead. We dive into the Vikings hire, what that means, update on Josh Jacobs, who was arrested over our long break from the show. We'll dive into the latest you need to know. Packers, Vikings, broad strokes of the NFL in hour number two. And we finish up today's show, whip around coverage, and of course, a lengthy, beefy edition of the good, the bad, and the ugly, including major news from the world of tennis. Serena Williams attempting a comeback, hopefully successful comeback in the days ahead. Serena Williams, the lead in today's edition of the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's get right to it in the scorecard here. Western Conference Finals, Game 7. We rewind to Saturday. A classic. San Antonio beats OKC 111-103. Spurs got out ahead early. The Thunder kept it close. It was all the drama, and in the end, felt like a shifting of gears, a grinding of gears, a different moment, a different era was just born on Saturday night. If we're being honest, you could say times are changing. Spurs League now. Thanks so much, OKC, for your contribution. You got your one ring. Take a back seat now. You could overreact and say that. Many people are saying, okay, pump the brakes. This is a nice change, nice win. OKC is still among the elite teams of the NBA, which they are, but certainly a massive win for San Antonio, and the new kids on the block are playing in the NBA Finals coming up on Wednesday for game number one. Kendrick Perkins keeping it 100%, saying the Spurs simply wanted this one more on Saturday night.
The one thing that we've done all season long, even last year, is praise OKC for their what? The depth. How many guys they have to come in, and we don't know which way they go cut you. You could go with the Andrew Wiggins. They acquired Jared McCain at the trade deadline, and he was huge for them throughout the course of this postseason run. But when you have home court advantage, and you have a game seven on your home court, it's zero excuses. The Oklahoma City Thunder were not starving. They weren't hungry enough, in my opinion. I believe the San Antonio Spurs Bears had about 8 to 10 offensive rebounds just in the third quarter, beating them to the 50-50 balls. I didn't see the same hunger there.
And again, there's a lot that doesn't show up in the stat sheet. You look at the box score from Saturday night, pretty darn even in shooting percentage, three percentage, free throws, rebounds, turnovers. But the Spurs find a way to get it done, and Victor Wembanyama deserves all the credit, all the flowers. Here's Mike Tirico of NBC talking about what has made Wemby's progression as such a young player so darn different.
They know exactly what they want to do. And the fact that they had Tim Duncan and the fact that they had David Robinson has gotten Wemby to help understand and buy in. We know what to do with a big man, and we will do this right. And I think that being in the building, plus, guys, their alumni are around the team all the time. There's an alumni locker room for the Spurs. So Manu, Duncan, who's there often, a lot of those guys live in San Antonio. They'll go get a workout in, and they've got a locker room there so they can just hang out after they work out. So obviously they cross paths and bump into the players. There's an alumni feel, and we don't use the word alumni with pro teams very often. The Spurs have that. I think that's helped Wembanyama fast forward his growth in a significant way.
And that's Mike Tirico of NBC Sports. More on the win for San Antonio. Game 7 on Saturday night. They win the series 4-3. Here's Evan Cohen on the other team. OKC, do you break it up? Do you tear it down? Where do you go from here?
I think it would be very short-sighted to break this team up, and I don't think they're going to. Chet was awful. Chet was awful, awful, awful. And I think that there are ways of getting this team better without destroying the whole team. I wouldn't feel comfortable if I was them breaking up their big three of Shea, Chet, and Jalen Williams.
There you go. 111-103, the final, game 7, which sets the stage for the NBA Finals. They begin on Wednesday night, 7:30 on ABC. Game 1 from San Antonio, Knicks and the Spurs. San Antonio, an early favorite. 4.5 points, the spread for game 1. More from Tirico of NBC Sports here. This is an ideal matchup for the NBA.
I think it's good for the league that you have this burgeoning, legendary, superstar, young French player who everybody will get to see on basketball's biggest stage, the finals, and the New York market, which amplifies every story times 5. So I think it's just perfect for the league to wrap up this season with one of those things that'll lay a tone for the next few years going forward and get more people interested in the NBA.
This is a pretty unique finals as well. If you look at the broad strokes, the beginning of the postseason, many people said OKC, maybe San Antonio could get there. Boston's the favorite in the East. Maybe you could plug and play the Pistons or the Cavs, or maybe the Knicks could go on a run. This is a surprising result thus far based on the teams that are here and how they got there. You got the Spurs obviously making their way through a couple of really good teams. The Knicks have had a relatively easy way through the East, but they've been so darn dominant. How do they stop Wemby? Can they stop Wemby? Here's Chris Canty.
The gravity of Wemby is going to dictate that multiple people try to stop him. And when that happens, can you recover enough? Can you close out on shooters enough where those guys can't get into a rhythm and knock down shots? Julian Champagne was 6-10 from 3-point land in game 7. A lot of that was because he got open looks. You can't let these guys get open looks because they know what to do with them. So that will be the Knicks' challenge, is defending the 3-point line in this series, because I've already conceded in my mind that Victor Wembanyama is going to get his. The only person that can stop Wemby is Wemby. But the question is, can you shut the faucet off when it comes to those others? That's going to be the biggest challenge for the Knicks.
So you can't stop Wemby. You got to stop everybody else, from Chris Canty there. Christian Winfield of the New York Daily News. What would a win in the finals mean for Jalen Brunson's career?
You're telling me that he goes out there and he leads this team to a championship. Number one, it makes him undoubtedly, you're going to talk about him when you mention the great leaders in basketball right now. Right up there with Steph Curry and LeBron James, you're going to start mentioning Jalen Brunson pretty soon if he's able to do this. And on top of that, you're going to start calling him probably the greatest Knick of all time. When you consider the last time they won a championship, it was before the NBA-ABA merger. This is Jalen is the leader of this Knicks franchise moving forward. And if he's able to win a title here, we're talking maybe a statue. We're talking, we saw street signs go up for just making the conference finals last year. If they win a title this year, listen, you're going to have to find somewhere new to play home games. Knicks fans are going to burn Madison Square Garden to the ground. They're going to spend a season trying to relocate, find somewhere new to play. Like, it's going to be a ridiculous scene. But Jalen Brunson is going to be the guy who you associate as being the best player in franchise history if he's able to deliver them.
And that's Christian Winfield of the New York Daily News. On the other side, Evan Cohen talking about Victor Wembanyama, saying simply all-time greats win when they're supposed to, but this could be an early treat for Victor Wembanyama, as his team was not projected to win the whole darn thing when the playoffs started.
I just think you have the opportunity to do something before you're supposed to, And that opportunity is so indicative and impactful for the rest of his career if he's able to sneak one in right now. The Steph Curry title, the last title he won, the 2022 one, that's like, oh my God, he got one when he wasn't supposed to. The getting the title when you're an all-time great, when you're not supposed to get one, Eli, he got another one against the Patriots? What? Brady with the Bucks. You get the really early one or the really late one when you're not supposed to. I think the opportunity is so enormous to sneak one in here. Either the sneak one in early or the add on late are so impactful. The ones in the middle are like, that's when you're supposed to do it. It's the ones that you're not supposed to do it that I think set up your legacy all time.
And that's Evan Cohen talking about the NBA Finals matchup. Knicks and the Spurs, San Antonio game one coming up Wednesday night, 7:30 on ABC. Spurs favored by 4.5. Over to the Stanley Cup Final. That's set in the NHL. Game one begins on Tuesday. Golden Knights at the Hurricanes from Raleigh, 7:00 on ABC. Carolina a sizable favorite in game one, minus 155 on the money line. Yesterday and recently hasn't been kind to the Minnesota Twins. Bailey Ober heading to the injured list. 15-day IL with an elbow injury, elbow concern. And yesterday the Twins lost 9-3 on the road at Pittsburgh. Four straight losses for Minnesota. They fall to 27-33. Here's manager Derek Shelton on his team continuing to play well despite the lackluster effort on the scoreboard at the end of the game.
Yeah, so, I mean, three games. I mean, I think like we talked about in Chicago, we played well except for the one game. I mean, the first night here, we were a pitch away from winning the game. Last night, we were down 7-1, and they battled. I mean, they continue to battle, and I think that's the thing that I appreciate out of them.
Check that. Five straight losses for Minnesota, including six of their last seven. Minnesota will open up a home stand against the White Sox tonight, 6:40, the start time. Over to the remainder AL Central scores from yesterday. Boston beat Cleveland 9-4. The Guardians cooling off a bit, 34-27 is their record. White Sox staying pretty good, 2-1, 2-1 the win. White Sox are 32-27. They beat Detroit yesterday as the Tigers, yuck, not great. 22-38, the record for them right now. Other AL Central team in action. Kansas City lost in Arlington to the Rangers, 6-3. Royals also in the cellar with a mark of 22-37. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Tigers at Rays 5:40, Royals at Reds 6:10. Mentioned it before, White Sox and the Twins 6:40 start time, 6:00. Pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Other notable local teams in action, Giants at the Brewers 6:40, Rangers at Cardinals 6:45, Rockies visiting the Angels. The nightcap gets going from L.A. at 8:30. NASCAR race over the weekend was won by Denny Hamlin at Nashville Motor Speedway. Next up, the race at Michigan Sunday, 2:00 start on Prime Video and HBO. And over to the National Football League, a team that everybody wants to go ahead and hand a playoff spot to, hand the flowers to, hand a deep playoff run, maybe a Super Bowl berth to, apparently, is the Cincinnati Bengals. Adam Schefter getting on the train today.
If Joe Burrow is healthy, they're probably going to be playing with a lead a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're playing with the lead, it takes a lot of the pressure off what should be a much improved defense. And Joe Burrow himself has said that this is the best roster that he's played with in Cincinnati. And if we go back and look, the Bengals did go to a Super Bowl before and nearly won it in Los Angeles with Joe Burrow playing. He thinks this roster might be better. And let's also remember this. Their schedule is about as easy as any schedule in the league. It is set up for the Bengals to have a big year and for them to be a dangerous team.
You know, I could absolutely be so darn wrong on this, but I am not buying into Cincinnati one bit. They got an easy schedule. That's great. Joe Burrow's talking up the talent of the team. Everybody does that every offseason. You know, this coaching staff or this guy, this newcomer, let me tell you what, they're really great. Look out for us. I agree. I think the Bengals will be improved. I do not think they're going to the Super Bowl this year. I don't think the schedule benefits them that much. And when you talk about if Joe Burrow is healthy, they're going to be playing ahead a lot. Did you look at the defense last year in Cincinnati? That defense was bottom three in most statistical categories last year, and they brought in Dexter Lawrence and Jonathan Allen and a couple other ancillary pieces on the defensive side. That's going to make them better, but how much better? 20th, 25th, 26th best defense? That would be marketed notable improvement. And they might have marketed notable improvement and win 9, 10 games and make the playoffs. That's fine. I'm just not ready to call Cincinnati a Super Bowl contender anytime soon. And lastly, from the National Football League, Dominique Foxworth talking about those Minnesota Vikings and Kyler Murray. Best quarterback that Kevin O'Connell has had? during his time in Minnesota?
I do think that Kyler Murray is the best quarterback that they've had there. So I think Justin Jefferson is going to be happy. He will not be reading books about staying calm on the sideline and being able to endure tragedy. Like, I think he's going to have a successful season. This is the best quarterback that he's played with in a long time. He's better than all the quarterbacks that KOC has had before. He's had more success than them, independent of Kevin O'Connell. Like, I think that Kyler Murray's had stretches of play that we thought were MVP caliber. All we need is someone to make it so it extends for the rest of the season. I think Justin Jefferson is that person to help extend it along with Kevin O'Connell.
I'm going to push back on Dominique Foxworth. Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than Kyler Murray. Sam Darnold is a better quarterback than Kyler Murray. That being said, Kyler Murray, you could argue, is way more skilled, a better athlete than those two. Absolutely. But the steady Eddie nature of Kirk Cousins is pretty darn enviable. That's why he still has a job in the league of any kind. Kyler Murray's been injured. He's been inconsistent. He's been a little mercurial as the quarterback there in Arizona. He turns the page over to Minnesota, and I agree. There's a lot to be hopeful about. He could end up being the best, most accomplished. Maybe he'll go out and win a playoff game or two for Minnesota, something that Sam Darnold and Kirk Cousins didn't really do too often or at all. But I understand you talk about best quarterback. There's a lot of different ways to skin a cat in that regard. But I think Kirk Cousins has a better career, has had a better career than Kyler Murray, no doubt about it. And then with Sam Darnold, the last 2 years, his most recent true blue starting opportunities in this peak of his career is an elite quarterback-ish in the NFL. Top 7, top 8, top 10, pretty darn good. Is Kyler Murray there right now? No. He's not. We need to see him out on the football field. See him completing bombs to Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, and others before we anoint him as the best quarterback we've seen. Ability? Yeah. He's a more dynamic, better athlete, probably a better thrower of the football than Kirk and Sam. But I'm not ready to say he's a better quarterback than them just yet. That's all for the NFL for now. Reminder, in the tennis world, French Open continues. Yesterday you saw Iga Swiatek bow out of the French Open as the 3 seed, swept by Marta Kostyuk, 2-0, 7-5, 6-1. Earlier on today, Diana Schneider beat American Madison Keys 2-1. And tonight, this afternoon, locally, 1:15 on TNT, top seed Aryna Sabalenka taking on 16th-seeded Naomi Osaka on the women's side. Men today, the early final, Flavio Caboli moving on with a 3-1 victory over American Zachary Zvada. And then coming up, Francis Tiafoe, 19th seed, one of the few American men remaining, takes on the Italian Matteo Arnaldi. That underway here in about 20 minutes on TNT. And a reminder, in the golf world, Russell Henley beat Eric Cole in a playoff to win the Charles Schwab Challenge at 12 under. U.S. Open around the corner, running June 18th. Through the 21st, and D1 softball, Nebraska bowing out yesterday, losing to Texas 3-1, and the final record for Nebraska 52-8, and also Nebraska baseball bowing out yesterday, losing to Ole Miss, and Arizona State eliminated with a final record of 43-17. And right now on ESPN, back to the softball world, today we got the finalization of the final two teams for the Women's College World Series in the sport of softball. Texas comes in with one loss. They got no loss Tennessee, taking on right now, 11 a.m. start. They're underway. And if they need a game three, if necessary, that'll be at 1:30 this afternoon. Now, the one loss team on the other side of the bracket is Texas Tech. They match up with top seed Alabama. 6 o'clock tonight, game number three, if necessary, of that series will be 8:30, all of which on ESPN. Let's dive right into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. Hour number one, as always, for a better local banking option for you and yours, check them out online at ReliaBank.com or in person here in the 605. A nightmare. Bottom of the fifth inning sealed SDSU baseball's fate, ending the Jackrabbits' postseason run in the NCAA regional with a 17-0 loss to a powerful Arizona State squad Saturday afternoon at Hawks Field. The Jackrabbits ended their season 24-33, including an 0-2 mark in the D1 baseball championship NCAA tournament. Arizona State improved to 38-20 as they move on to that next matchup, but the Jackrabbit season comes to a close. A very nice one, memorable one. Summit League tournament champions, 24-33, the final mark there. Troy Berg was named to the ABCA All-Central Region first team, while Mariano Gomez and Kobe Eichmeier of Augustana each earned spots on the second team, announced on Wednesday of last week, the NSIC Pitcher of the Year has now earned honors from the D2CCA and NCBWA. That article, along with the softball accolades, available at GoAuggie.com. USD Coyote football kickoff times for the 6 home regular season games have been announced by the athletic department just last week. The season will commence with a 1 o'clock kickoff time against Central Connecticut State on August 29th for the first ever meeting between the two teams. The other home games, Eastern Washington, 1 p.m., Indiana State, a 2 o'clock start, Southern Illinois, North Dakota, Northern Iowa, the rest of the way, all are 1 o'clock starts. You can view that and grab your season tickets, single game tickets, and more at GoYotes.com. It's also where you can find this news that South Dakota men's basketball head coach Eric Peterson is not just adding players to the roster, but also adding coaches to the staff this offseason. He's announced the hiring of a new assistant coach in Joe White. White comes to Vermillion after 7 years as an assistant at Idaho State, where he spent the previous 3 seasons as the associate head coach. In his time at Idaho State, White has been named as one of the top 100 rising stars in men's basketball mid-major assistant coaches, top 75 most impactful mid-major assistant coach award, and also twice honored as the top 50 most impactful low-major D1 men's basketball assistant coaches in America by Silver Waves Media. You can find more information on the new assistant at USD men's basketball, Joe White, at GoYotes.com. And lastly, we told you briefly about that Twins news earlier. Twins have placed right-hander Bailey Ober on the 15-day injured list with right elbow inflammation. This move was announced on Sunday. Ober this year has been pretty darn steady, 6-3, a nice record. ERA, little high, 4.59 over 66 innings of work this year. Allowed 7 earned runs and 12 hits in 4 2/3 innings in Saturday's loss at Pittsburgh. And Minnesota, of course, continuing to be plagued by pitching injuries. Pablo Lopez notably out for the season before it got going following elbow surgery. Mick Abel on the injured list in April. Left-hander Kendry Rojas went on the injured list earlier this week. And now Bailey Ober, latest 15-day injured list as of yesterday. Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number one. We got a new Minnesota Vikings general manager to break down, introduce you to later on in the show. A lot still to get to as we just get off the ground on this Monday, June 1st edition of Overtime. When we come back on this day in sports history, your history lesson on a Monday. On the way, NBA, NHL Final 2 finals are set. Stage setter, look at the odds and more coming up next on this Monday, June 1st edition of Overtime right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000. KSOO.
College hoops and NBA basketball, the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's all here on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you, just getting off the ground on our first day back in a while, a Monday and a month opening edition of Overtime, June 1st, ready to rumble our way into a fun summer. We start by looking back on this day in sports history. We start all the way back in 1917 with today's history lesson. Time for On This Day in Sports History.
History repeats itself.
Little roller up along first, behind the back. It gets through Buckner.
Well, sometimes.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
In the world of sports, there are moments that are fleeting.
And Barnes, that's right high. Pitches deep. It is
and some that live forever.
In the end zone, it is caught for the win.
It's time for Bert to deliver those moments that happened on this day in sports history.
Well, it seemed only fitting as we look back on 1917 to start on the heels of Memorial Day. We honor all of those that have served and continue to do so. 1917, pretty cool story here. Boston Braves first baseman Hank Gowdy is the first active Major League Baseball player to enlist in service for service in World War I. 1917, and went on to be the only player to fight in both World War I and World War II, Hank Gowdy, on this day, 1917, getting us going. 1923, the New York Giants beat up the Philadelphia Phillies 22-5 at the Baker Bowl. That's the first time in the 20th century, a Major League Baseball team had scored in every inning. 1939, on this day, was the first major boxing match on U.S. TV in a heavyweight bout from New York's Yankee Stadium between former world champion Max Baer and Lou Nova. Nova won by TKO in the 11th round that night back in 1939. Also in 39, the first night Major League Baseball game took place at Philadelphia's Scheib Park. The Phillies lost 5-2 that night to the Pirates. A lot more modern than 1939, 1975 is where we're going now. California Angels pitcher Nolan Ryan recorded his record-equaling fourth MLB career no-hitter in beating the Baltimore Orioles that day 1-0. 1982, Oakland A's left fielder and stolen base extraordinaire Ricky Henderson stole two bases in a 3-2 win over the Red Sox to become the fastest player to reach 50 steals in a Major League Baseball season on this day in 1982. And in 2012, Johan Santana threw his first no-hitter in the New York Mets 50-year Major League Baseball hitter's history when he beat the St. Louis Cardinals on that day 8-0. That back, 14 years ago in 2012. Birthdays to celebrate. How about honoring a pair of very notable fullbacks of the past? Happy birthday back in 1933 to Alan Ameche, American College Football Hall of Fame fullback, Heisman Trophy winner at the University of Wisconsin, Pro Bowler four times over, couple titles in the NFL with the Baltimore Colts, born in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Alan Ameche celebrating a birthday today, passed away in 1988. Also a birthday for Larry Centers. He was a recent identity crisis personality. Larry Centers, an American fullback, Pro Bowler three times. Also won a Super Bowl in 2003. Played for the Bills, Cardinals, Patriots, and more. 1968 birthday for Larry Centers, born in Tyler, Texas, a football town. 1970 birthday for Alexi Lalas, American soccer defender, TV personality, born in Birmingham, Michigan. Other birthdays to get to on this day in sports history. 1979 for Santana Moss, notable former NFL wide receiver and punt returner, born in Miami. And 1981, Chicago Cub great Carlos Zambrano, Venezuelan baseball pitcher, born in 1981 in Puerto Caballo, Venezuela. Let's dive right in to the latest and greatest from the NHL and the NBA, and also take a look at the odds as we set the stage for the final stage of both seasons, respectively, the Stanley Cup Final and the NBA Finals. Well, having finally gotten over the conference finals hump, the Carolina Hurricanes will be favored to win the championship as they head into their first Stanley Cup since 2006. And if I'm keeping score at home, 06 was a pretty special year in Raleigh for the Canes. Following Friday night's decisive Game 5 win in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Canes opened as minus 155 favorites to win the Stanley Cup, and the Vegas Golden Knights opened at plus 130. Carolina and Vegas were two of the most favored teams by sportsbooks throughout the regular season and playoffs, with the former entering the campaign at plus 750 as a co-favorite, and the latter starting close behind at plus 900. Canes were a second-best plus 475 at the beginning of the postseason, while Vegas was a fourth-best 10-1. Now, in this series, you can have a lot of opinions here. We'll dive into the NBA in a moment. But on the hockey world, what really shocks me and the way that I lean here is the way that Vegas won. They beat up, ran over, ran through the Colorado Avalanche, which is the team that was unbeaten in the NBA NHL postseason just a couple of weeks ago. And to not just beat the Avs in the series, to not win in seven games, win in six games, but to sweep that team. And I know the Avalanche had some excuses, McCarr going down, injuries to many others on the roster up and down for Colorado. That still is very, very impressive. That being said, my pick, as announced right here at 11:33 on a Monday before we get started game one tomorrow, I'll take Carolina just because that team has been the best team throughout the NHL postseason consistently, regardless of matchup. Carolina, a well-deserved city, possibly going to take home a Stanley Cup in a couple of weeks. Carolina opening up against Las Vegas as a favorite in game number one, and for the series, minus 155. Now, let's dive into the NBA here. On one day after a playoff run was cut shorter than anticipated for OKC, league MVP SGA called the season a failure. I failed at my goal, SGA said. I didn't achieve what I wanted to achieve. But I learned the most about myself and make the greatest amount of increases in my career when I fail and don't get what I want. Wise guy. I look at this no differently. I didn't get where I wanted to go this season. There's a reason for that. Now I have to look at that reason and try to make sure it never happens again. SGA's normally excellent efficiency dipped in the 7-game series loss to the Spurs, averaged 25.9 points on 41% shooting, compared to 31 points and 55% shooting during the regular season. Did have 35 points on 21 shots in a magnificent Game 7 performance, nearly willing his team for the win, but cannot get it done. OKC bows out. And does that feel like to you the Milwaukee Bucks a few years ago, the Denver Nuggets a few years ago, where you got all the star power, they get the ring, they come back, a nice season, and then bow out and don't have a chance to defend? This feels a little differently to me. I have a lot more confidence in OKC to get back because of the overall talent on the roster, the depth on the roster, the lottery pick coming up in the draft. I feel like OKC's got a lot of staying power. San Antonio's going to be the big thorn. And as much as you want to talk about SGA looking himself in the mirror, my process, my preparation, and anybody on OKC's team, I think their biggest issue is not them. I think it's Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs and that young, absurdly talented team down in San Antonio, that is their biggest issue, biggest hurdle to clear moving forward. I have a lot of confidence OKC will be in that conversation for years to come, but the big, crazy hurdle, obstacle in the way is the massive boulder in the path known as the San Antonio Spurs and Victor Wembanyama. Well, the New York Knicks are looking to get a lot out of center Mitchell Robinson. He plans to play in game one of the NBA Finals while wearing a brace on his hand after undergoing surgery on a broken right pinky finger, according to Shams Charania. Just on Friday, Knicks coach Mike Brown told reporters Friday that Robinson had surgery on the finger and was not clear exactly when Robinson was injured, though Brown said the center was not injured during game four or in practice. Knicks declined to give further details about the injury, but Mitchell Robinson does plan to play. Now your odds here as we dive in to setting the stage in the NBA. New York has a lot of riding on the underdog Knicks. At DraftKings Sportsbook in New York, the Knicks have attracted nearly half of all money wagered on the NBA Finals winner this season, almost as much as every other team combined. Now Victor Wembanyama and the favored San Antonio Spurs are all that stand in the way. On Saturday night, the Spurs opened as high as minus 220 favorites to win the Finals, with the Knicks installed as approximately plus 180 underdogs. The price quickly gravitated toward the rested Knicks, and as of Sunday morning, Spurs were down to minus 200 favorites. So, if you talk to diehards, casuals, or anybody with a pulse on the NBA, they will say, look out for the white-hot Knicks. The Spurs are dinged and dented, which they are. They just grinded and battled their way through another really, really tough series against an amazing opponent in OKC. A lot of opinions here, water cooler talk, people saying Knicks are the team of destiny. They're as hot as the team we've seen, dominant as the team we've seen. They have not played OKC. They have not played San Antonio. They have not played Denver, Minnesota, and grinded their way through the West and the war that was in the Western Conference playoffs. Give me the Spurs here. Not by a lot. I think this is going to be a great series. Six or seven games. Give me the Spurs. And like I said a minute ago in the NHL, I will take the Carolina Hurricanes in that series. Bold takes, I know, taking the favorites, but interesting stuff as the Knicks are getting a lot of attention and a lot of love in the betting markets. That's the latest and greatest from the NBA and the NHL. When we come back, we center right back up to college baseball, where the super regional rounds are taking shape in the college baseball world. Aggie baseball season came to a close in the D2 super regional round. Head coach Tim Huber joining us next to recap the season, talk about what's ahead, the seniors moving on, the youngsters coming back, and where this team and this program gets its consistency from. Because every year, feel like we're talking about deep playoff runs, College World Series, and more with Aggie Baseball. Head coach Tim Huber joins us next on this Monday edition of Overtime.
The best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on a beautiful Monday, June 1st edition of Overtime. Of course, we earned it with the tumultuous and dangerous weather over the weekend. Time to talk baseball. Sun is shining, birds are chirping, and baseball season continuing for a few teams. Super regionals into the College World Series, D2, D1 level, moving ahead. Augie Baseball, another nice postseason run this year, guided by head coach Tim Huber, who joins us now to recap a season in which the team finished at 45-16 in another nice, deep postseason run. Coach, welcome back into the show. How you doing this week?
Just trying to catch up with things here, but all is good.
And certainly, Coach, 45-16, not too shabby. That the bar, the floor for your program feels pretty darn high. Take us through the Central Missouri Super Regional, the loss there to the Mules, 6-1 game one, 10-1 game two. What added up to the pair of defeats that ended your team's season, and what do you really take away as you point things towards next year for Rocky Baseball?
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes people lose track of the fact that, you know, within any given game, things can change real fast. And, you know, I kind of summed up our series against Central Missouri. You know, they were a team that's always been really good. You know, they've been to the World Series as much as anybody not named Tampa. And, you know, what happened in that deal was game one, we had a 1-0 lead. We were pitching really well. In the sixth inning, we gave up an 0-2 home run to tie it up. We get to the seventh, it's still tied and a good baseball game, and their leadoff hitter got on, and, you know, they like to run, they like to bunt. Their fastest runner was at the plate, and it's like, okay, they're going to bunt here, and I'm getting on our third baseman to get in a little closer. And sure enough, they lay down a sacrifice bunt, and we pick it up, and we're a little late getting there, and we throw it to first, and it's a close play, and they're safe. And, you know, from there, the pressure just got put on, and they bunted a couple times. They got a couple big hits, and instead of them having a runner on first with one out and maybe getting a run that inning and having a two-run game, we gave up five. And, you know, now we're down 6-1, and largely we just didn't get into the mix, and then the next day we didn't show up. So, you know, you just kind of think, like, one little play like that can really define a game and sometimes a series, and that's what it was. Central Missouri was good. They were playing good baseball, and we didn't hit that weekend, really, to sum it up, which is crazy because the weekend before down at Pitt State, that's all we did was hit. Mm-hmm. So that's how it goes.
Central Missouri handing Augustana a pair of losses, concluding the season for Augie Viking baseball, 45-16. Head coach Tim Huber is our guest. Coach, we talk all the time about the longevity you've had here in Sioux Falls, the program and the stability. What do you think, if you take yourself out of it, 10,000-foot view, if there's other coaches around the conference, other coaches around the country that have taken notice of Augustana Viking baseball, what do you think are a few things that they might be envious of that has led to the year-over-year stability, postseason runs, College World Series appearances and victory? What do you think kind of adds up to that here in Sioux Falls for Augie baseball?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things, mm-hmm. frankly, but I think it's the consistency of me being here. That's part of it. Yep. You know, I've been here 18 years now, and some coaches have come and gone along the way. I think we've found a way to hire the right people. That's an important piece of the puzzle. You can't be any good if you don't have people surrounding you to have success. So we've got some really good assistant coaches, which have led to some really good jobs, you know, and that's part of it. So it's me finding the right people to come in, and we hired another good assistant this past year. John Nolan was a first-year coach with us, and, you know, he was kind of figured it out as he went through our conference and what it looked like, and him and I had good conversations at the end of the year. Largely the pitchers, I think they finished the season ranked number one in the country in strikeouts for nine innings, so they were doing some things right, but there's some stuff we got to clean up on the walks and hit-by-pitches. And so, again, it starts with the guys and the people around you from a staff perspective. Our alumni base has been really strong. That's a big one for me. So I bring that up because we would never have any success at the level we've had if we haven't improved our facilities, you know, our field, and we're working on adding some more things to what we're doing now. And so that just takes a lot of support from an alumni, a parent group perspective. And so I've been fortunate with that to have some good people that want to see us have success. They're enjoying seeing that success. And then I think it's sticking with doing what we do and how we do it. And, you know, on any given year, you figure out, you mentioned earlier here today, not on the radio, but on the call with me about the transfer portal, mm-hmm. and kind of what that world looks like. And, you know, yeah, we're going to dabble into that a little bit, but that's not who Augustana is. That's not what Augustana baseball is going to look like. We're going to build with our high school guys and program guys, and they get in and they know what my expectations are. And I think those things are really important. So the people that know me, that have competed against us, they know kind of what it looks like and what that blueprint is. And it's the development process that we talk a lot about. And, you know, so it took time to get here. We weren't very good. I always tell people that, you know, up until 2016, 2017, we started getting better and we won a national championship in 2018. And really since then, it's been a lot of fun. It's been some good runs. And so I think that we're in a good place now, and there's always new challenges and you just got to figure it out. But, yeah, kind of like where we're tracking down, and, you know, to get back to a super regional in a year where we had some tough stuff happen from the mound and losing the guys to pro ball and our top pitcher going down, and we got to a spot I didn't think we would get to. Maybe our guys did. Good for them. So yeah, it's nice to get to that point, and now you just try to, you know, rebuild it, reload it for next year and keep going.
Talking Augie baseball, head coach Tim Huber concluding a season 45-16 just a couple of weeks ago. Coach, you talk about year-over-year turnover. Every year you get it, high school, college, with seniors moving on and moving out, moving on up hopefully as well. Highlight those that might be moving on, the numerous seniors. I got 8 on the roster in front of me, including Mariano Gomez. We know how important he's been on the mound for you. Highlight those guys and what they've meant to the program this year and in recent years for you.
Yeah, I'll start with the guy that's been on our team the longest, Adam Diedrich. He was our closer, and he really got the glue going back together for us this year because our bullpen was really struggling, and he was in our program for 6 years because of COVID and a medical injury, and so I give Didi a lot of credit. He's been around longer than anybody, knows what it looks like, and hats off to him. He's actually going to sign with the Sioux Falls Canaries this week, so he's going to keep playing baseball, and, you know, we're going to miss him. Mariano Gomez, you referenced, you know, I got to talk to Mo this week just to see what he's thinking and what that's going to look like. He'll be a pro guy. He's going to sign somewhere. It's just, you know, is a major league team going to move on him, or is it going to be an independent league, or what that's going to look like? But he'll be tough to replace. You know, we got 3 years out of him. Again, he redshirted last year because of an injury, and, you know, just had a really good senior year, and he'll be missed. You can't replace a guy like that. It just does. You don't find him and plug and play a pitcher to his caliber. And Reagan Pino had a really good senior year. Troy Berg had a good senior year for us. Those two guys were mainstays in our lineup this spring, and we'll miss them. Ryan Clemente was a guy that, you know, was just a good program dude and was awesome all the way through his 4 years, and he really got into the mix and was one of our main pitchers in kind of middle relief and whatever role we used him. So Ryan will be a big, big piece that we're going to miss. And, you know, there's some other seniors too, but those guys really were main and will be key losses. But we had 4 sophomores starting for us. We had a freshman position player that played a good amount, and, you know, we're actually gonna lose one of our key players to the portal. Our shortstop is gonna jump in there. He was one of those sophomores, and Joel Van der Stroot is a pitcher. So he's another guy, sophomore, that we're really looking forward to having back and hopefully getting Joel healthy again. But yeah, we've got a really good group of returning young, just kind of core people. Nate Solter, Carter Heinz, Bjorn Lind, those guys have played now for a couple of years already, and they still have 2 years left. So that's kind of fun when they can, you know, continue to just have that experience. You know, we talked a lot about that we didn't make it last year. So those 4 sophomores that started, they'd never been to a regional before, and now they got their feet wet and they know what it looks like to get close and the only 2 wins away from getting back to a World Series, so that's going to help.
Talking Augie baseball with head coach Tim Huber here on a Monday, June 1st edition of Overtime. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. Coach, lastly, before we cut you loose, always appreciate the candor and the time all year long you give to us. Talk to us about offseason priorities and goals. Where does the program go from here? How do you continue to grow this thing? And is there any time for vacation or anything for you personally? Do you have anything on your offseason list, if you will?
Well, first on the vacation side of things, for sure, at some point, it's not going to be right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and we talk about this. Coaches, they shake their head like, oh, yeah, you know, woe was you, cry, you know. But when your season extends a little bit and you play 2 or 3 weeks longer than other, you know, peers at your level, you're just behind the 8 ball. So, yeah, it's only been a week we've been done, and had to get through, you know, 2 days of player meetings, and we've hit the road running, and you have the seniors over and say goodbye to them. So you kind of try to wrap all that up. And, you know, the vacation piece will, for me, I always say I try to shut it down when I get to August. It doesn't always work, but to have some time in August, and my wife and I try to go to some different major league stadiums. We're due. We haven't gone for a couple of years, but our 6-year-old now is probably old enough where he can stay with somebody for, you know, a few days or a week and be fine. So we'll try to, we've got some discussions on where we're going to go, but it'll be a major league ballpark at somewhere at some point here this summer. We'll do that. And, so yeah, we'll see. But yeah, largely it's hit the ground running this summer. I'll be traveling the next week or two to really try to look into what's out there from a transfer perspective, and knowing we've got a few holes to fill. So we need to increase our infield depth. That's an important one right now. So we'll need to bring in a guy or two in the infield that we think has a chance to help early on. And, you know, I feel great about where we're at on the mound, but, we might end up bringing in a transfer pitcher at this point now too. We weren't going to, but, I think we'll maybe try to do that. And I like our young guys coming. We've got a really good signing class of young kids that are coming into our program. I had a chance to see a couple of them play here this past week up in Minnesota, and you know, there's some others that are really, we think, going to be instant contributors for us. So there's not, I would say, a ton of work to do to, you know, run it back next year, other than, you know, again, like because of one or two losses in the portal, we'll have to have one or two replacements, whether it's out of the portal or the JUCO ranks. So that'll be my focus here next couple weeks, and just, you know, keep your fingers crossed. I had a good conversation with a couple guys here the last couple days. So, you know, if we say this a lot, if you want to be at Augie, we want you, and let's go, we'll do it. And if you don't, you want to be at a different level with a different number after the D, that's okay too. Then we don't want you. So we'll see how it all plays out.
We'll wish you all the best in a great offseason ahead. Augie baseball, another phenomenal year, 45-16, the final record. Another super regional appearance. That's head coach Tim Huber on a Monday. Coach, have a great offseason. We'll talk to you again down the line.
Thanks for having me. Have a good summer.
Oh, we absolutely will. It's always great leading into the spring season with baseball and knowing you got some great programs to cover here in Sioux Falls. Augustana, certainly one of those. Another nice year, 45-16, all the way to the Super Regional, winning a regional on the road. Pittsburgh State going up against Central Missouri again. This year, swept by the Mules in two games. Bigger and better things ahead for Augustana Viking baseball. Very consistently great program right here in Sioux Falls. Special thanks, as always, head coach Tim Huber. So much time, candor, and effort to get him on the air, and the time he gives us, very much appreciated throughout each and every season. That's hour one. Augie baseball conversation in the rear view. In front of us, headlines and highlights. We'll talk the latest from the NFL. A couple big news items just hit the wire involving Odell Beckham Jr. Time to party like it's 2014. He's back with the New York Giants, and a significant quarterback, Super Bowl winning quarterback, is heading to the broadcast booth. We'll dive into that and more news right around the corner as we take a break. End hour one, hour number two, coming up next right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.